a look at the state's searchable online circuit court database, also known as CCAP. It's used by human resources professionals and many members of the public who want to search the criminal histories of the people of Wisconsin.
In recent years, the merits of the online database have been debated. Ultimately, the site remains accessible to everybody. Nearly all criminal charges are visible to users.
According to our next guest, the open accessibility leads to misuse of information and even discrimination. Joel McNally is a journalist and adjunct lecturer at UW-Milwaukee. He recently wrote an article in Milwaukee Shepherd Express called CCAP's Criminal Records Are the Official State Blacklist. Joel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dean. Glad to be on.
I want to start with talking about your role as a journalist, because that's how you open up your piece, your lead. Because, you know, as a journalist, the idea of having a searchable database like this is a wonderful thing. And the idea that public records are public is something that is almost an absolute.
Absolutely, although I do know, too, that over the years, journalism itself has censored itself and censored public records. A long time ago, we stopped running addresses of obituaries because we heard, and I don't even know, it could have just been anecdotal, but heard that people would be going off to their funerals and their homes would be burglarized because everyone, the burglars, used them as like a shopping list. And, we're always, balancing the use of information versus the damage that it can do. And I think in the case of CCAP, the damage is really pretty obvious.
And let's talk about that, because the concept of, let's talk about the concept of CCAP first, and then have you talk about how you see the reality of it.
Okay. what's the concept?
Well, you tell me. I mean, the concept.
The concept is everything in the world is there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's part of the basic problem, because, not only are there criminal convictions on there and misdemeanor convictions, but there are even charges that someone was never convicted of, charges that ultimately were dropped, charges that never went to trial, basically an arrest. We know by now that an arrest is not a conviction, and that an arrest doesn't prove anything, and you're supposed to be innocent until you're proven guilty. But you can say, and you can even mark that on the public record that this was dismissed or this charge ended in acquittal. But believe me, if an employer is looking at that list and they see someone was arrested for anything, whether they were convicted or not, they're looking for reasons to, throw people out of, if people have applied for jobs and they got, a ton more applications than anybody they can hire, they're just looking for reasons to get rid of people. And we know that, most of the public, considers an arrest a conviction. We know that just from the gossip, just from the assumption that if a charge shows up in the newspaper, everyone figures, they must have done something or the police wouldn't have charged him.
CCAP's been around for a while. And
it sure has.
It sure has. But, I was trying to think how long it's been, 10 or 15, or at least 15 years, I would say.
I'd say more than that. It's been around for, who knows when the whole computer age took over. But, journalists have always been able to search records. People who have a legitimate interest have always had an ability to search records. We don't want government to be withholding these records. At the same time, just to put it out the way that it's put out, and I think it should be a dead giveaway that, 8 million visitors a year to this site. I mean, that's practically, porn site, access. I can't think of any other records in state government that would draw millions of people. And we know that a lot of it is some of it may just be prurient interest or looking up your neighbors or whatever, but I don't think a whole lot of people in this state realize that the state of Wisconsin is basically publicizing, any contact they may have ever had with law enforcement, and that could be, in fact, used illegitimately against them.
And so how do you know this is happening? I mean, is this all anecdotal or just your observations, or do you have some data to back it up?
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, do you have numbers? Can you prove it? Can you attribute it to somebody?
No. I'm a journalist. Do I have to attribute something to somebody? No. I think it is fairly common knowledge that employers check it, that landlords check it, and they use it as a basis for determining whether someone can rent an apartment or get a job. Those 8 million people, that is a whole lot of people looking into the very private, embarrassing personal records of individuals. Now, yeah, they allowed to because it's a public record, but it is. Here's the interesting thing: you couldn't get an employer to tell you that they had checked this and decided not to offer someone a job because they found a conviction on this site.
Yeah, there's this little thing you're supposed to click.
Because a matter of fact, it is against the law. It is against the law in the state of Wisconsin to discriminate in hiring on the basis of a criminal record. And then you put all the criminal records out there and say, here's all the criminal records, but of course, if you check these and you discriminate against somebody, that would be bad. But have a field day. I can't document how many people who may have been convicted of something a long time ago, or may have legitimately done something pretty bad in the past, and that it's been held against them their entire life. But I think it makes common sense that. If employers are checking this and deciding, on hiring on the basis of what they see there, even though it's against the law in many cases, that is very damaging. It's not only damaging to the individuals; it's damaging to the communities, because you want people who, in fact, have criminal convictions and have served time in prison. If they're returning to their communities, you want them to be able to get legitimate employment. You don't want them to be discriminated against because of those convictions, because if they can't, in fact, support themselves legitimately, that, is an open invitation to go back to crime and to continue to criminalize, commit crimes in the community and victimize other members of the community. It is in everyone's public interest not to discriminate against those people, even though this particular form of record, which is practically a website with neon going off around it, like some of those things you see on the internet that claim you won $1 million. You've got these state records that are being treated just for everyone's prurient interest, and 8 million people a year are very interested, and not all of them are going to be using those records, for some legitimate purpose.
So where's the balance here? I mean, how do you, protect the rights of individuals who may have been mm-hmm. charged with something years ago and it was dismissed with the public's right to know what government is up to?
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been many suggestions over the years. I mean, one obvious is that there should at least be a time limit on when something's on there. The other, which I think should just almost go without saying, is that there should not be things on there that are not proven. If someone has been charged with something but have been convicted of nothing, I don't think that should, be available, because people are seeing something that we haven't even judged the truth of yet or not. Over the years, various legislators have said, we recognize that this is damaging. We recognize that there are unintended consequences to this that are very bad for the communities. And as a result, there should be it shouldn't be used like a blacklist. It shouldn't be used just to automatically prevent employment of people who need employment in this economy. and in order to support their families and support their community and participate in the, you know, return to their communities, return to legitimate employment, and straighten up. I mean, for the same reason that, in fact, you know, those people should be allowed to vote when they return to the communities. We want them to work legitimately. We want them to care about their communities. We want them to be involved in their community, and instead of, you know, whatever their lives may have been before, and instead the state right now is enabling people to violate the law, basically, and to discriminate.
All right. We're talking with Joel McNally about his recent article, CCAP's Criminal Records Are the Official State Blacklist. It appeared in Milwaukee Shepherd Express.
And we want to know what you think about this. Should these records, these court records of criminal charges and convictions, be available to anyone who wants to go online and look at them? Have you used CCAP to look someone up, a potential employee, potential tenant, potential date? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're talking with columnist Joel McNally about his recent op-ed called CCAP Criminal Records Are the Official State Blacklist. And we're taking your calls on CCAP right now. If you've had an experience with CCAP, if you've been CCAP yourself, or if you've seen charges that were filed against you, never convicted of, but now they've lurking there year after year after year, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Our email is talk@WPR.org. Let's go to the phones, and we begin with Jeff, who joins us from Appleton. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there. The information should be available, but the problem with it being available on the Internet is simply the anonymity. Back in the infancy of CCAP, I did witness groups of people sitting in the office and pulling up random people throughout the office. Saw it happen. But the information should be available to somebody who has the gumption to walk into a building and request it face-to-face.
All right, Jeff, thanks for that. And Joel McNally, there you go. Go back to the 20th century, just walk into a building and ask for a record. How's that sound?
Yeah, imagine that. You know, we did used to do those sorts of things, didn't we? At the very least, to me, that would mean that the people who are going to the trouble of doing it, you know, we know that government can sometimes on its own set up hoops that you have to jump through because they don't want you to get something. In this particular case, I think just the fact that it takes a little energy and a little effort on your part to get it. Like I said, government should never be allowed to hide this stuff, but we don't have to put it out, you know, the way that this is put out, where at the click of a button you can review somebody's whole life. The truth of the matter is, all of us did things sometime in our life that we wouldn't like to see passed around the office. Like,
you'll notice I'm being very quiet right now. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, some people who actually have even argued against some of these attempts to limit the list or to make it not quite so accessible. They say, well, if employers really want this, and if landlords really want this, there's going to be some private service which is going to pop up for a fee to get this list for employers or for landlords or other interested people, and that they may not be as accurate as even these records are. These, at least, you know, they're official records, so you know that they're there. But we don't know if some private service would, you know, some PI, making money on the side by going through these records, would be as careful as somebody else. Now, I can understand that argument. At the same time, to me, what Jeff described is everyone's nightmare, right? I mean, people will be sitting around an office and calling up their friends' names and their neighbors and their girlfriends And I don't think people realize in this state that the state of Wisconsin is actually, you know, making that possible, enabling that, really, and kind of saying, go to it.
Let's follow up on that with a call. David joins us now from Milwaukee. Hi, David.
Hello. This is a great show and very needed. I am, I hate to say the word victim, but my situation was this. In the past, I had a drug problem, but for 12 years, I cleaned it up and I changed my life. And I am totally blacklisted. That word blacklisted from employment is perfect. I've had jobs offered to me, and then all of a sudden, just before I was going to take them, I'd get a call back with an excuse of, you know, nothing to do with the record, of why I couldn't get the job. And this has happened at least 10, 20 times to me. I went to MATC just recently for a welding diploma. I did well in it. And they said there's welding jobs. I couldn't get a job because of this situation. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, I'm 59 years old, and, you know, I can't even explain how this makes people like me feel. And my other thing I wanted to say is if there's an organization that's working to try to do something about this, I would try to like to be in contact with those people so I could help maybe move this issue forward.
David, thanks so much for the call. Joel McNally, are there efforts to change what you can see on CCAP? I know this has come up in the legislature a few times. I think there's some legislation pending right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think right now the one that's pending right now is kind of goofy, kind of silly. It seems to be aimed at it's a Republican bill, and it's introduced by some folks who say, well, what we really have to take off of there are financial judgments after a certain period of time in civil suits. It appears to be more concerned about white-collar constituents of certain Republican legislators than about this real problem, and the really horrible problem that David described. I mean, we talked about the, you know, passing, you know, frivolous stuff around the office about people's past, but what happened to David, and what has happened to people like him? I mean, imagine this: someone who has done the right thing, you know, if they did any time at all, but maybe not. Maybe they got into some rehab as a result of a contact with law enforcement. They clean themselves up. They are doing exactly what we want them to do in this society. And by doing it, you know, they end up, you know, unemployable or end up having it held against them the rest of their lives. They're not who they were, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They're someone else entirely, but, you know, they can't prove it to anybody because no one will even, you know, you're lucky to get called in for an interview because you could be completely dismissed before you ever got to that point to be able to explain who you are today. And that's terrible. I do know that some of the Milwaukee Democratic legislators, Fred Kessler for sure and Mandela Barnes and some of them have been introducing some things to try to have a time limit on some of these records. Those two legislators' names immediately come to mind. I don't know an organization particularly, although there are some good organizations working to try to overcome some of the obstacles from people who, you know, when they're released back into the community, Project Return and some others. So there are some organizations around I know who are concerned. ACLU is always very concerned about information being misused. So, you know, those are just a couple ideas, but I think this David's story is really the point that it, you know, we don't want people who are convicted of crimes. We talked about the fact that some people could be blacklisted.
And Joel McNally, I'm afraid we've got to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we're out of time.
I sure appreciate it, Gene.
And we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. That was Joel McNally, journalist and adjunct lecturer at UW-Milwaukee. He recently wrote an article in Milwaukee's Shepherd Express called CCAP's Criminal Records Are the Official State Blacklist. And you can read it for yourself on the Central Time Facebook page.